Welcome to the Beauty Edit podcast, a podcast solely dedicated to the nail and beauty industry. In today's episode, we chat to the waxing daddy, Andy Rouillard, the owner of Axiom Wax Academy. Andy shares with us his journey into the world of waxing, especially male intimate waxing, and also shares his inspiration behind starting his own training academy.
Together we laugh about the shocking stories and sticky situations we've all got ourselves in, and Andy shares some amazing advice and tips when it comes to waxing. This episode is perfect for experienced waxers who wish to learn from Andy, but also those thinking about adding this treatment to their service list.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Are you?
Very well, thank you. Enjoying the sunny weather at the moment.
I know, it's been a blessing, really, hasn't it, in lockdown?
Oh, it's beautiful. Although I was saying to my other half earlier, I'm very happy that this is a podcast and not a Zoom meeting or something, so you can't see my hair. I'm missing my hairdresser at the moment, and I currently look like a cross between Jedward and one of those troll pencil toppers.
We've got a story about a troll, which
that'll come in later. It's to do with waxing.
Oh, okay. The mind boggles.
Oh, honestly.
Yeah. Hello. I'll just pop in and say hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good.
Yeah, we're all missing our hairdressers at the minute.
Oh, I know. That's going to be waxers, hairdressers, nail techs. I tell you, we're going to be busy for England when we get back to work.
Yeah, definitely, which will be a good thing.
Definitely.
To start with, could you please give us an introduction to yourself and Axiom Academy, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Andy Rouillard. I run the Axiom Men's Grooming Salon down in sunny Basingstoke in North Hampshire. So I spend all of my day, all day, every day, pulling hair out of the men of Hampshire and feeling very chilled and very calm when I get home from work. And alongside that, I also run the Axiom Wax Academy, which is a training school specialising in waxing. So I run classes myself down in Hampshire and London and across the UK, and I've got trainers up in Manchester, the Midlands and Scotland as well.
Brilliant. So Axiom Academy then, does that cover a range of waxing treatments?
It does. So we specialise in men's waxing because that's how I started out. That's my area of specialism. And when I started teaching waxing way back in 2007, there weren't many other trainers offering education on the men's waxing side of things. So I was a member of a forum called Salon Geek. It's still going. It was an absolutely fantastic resource way back in the noughties in particular. It was really, really popular, still is. Lots of people kind of chiming in, giving advice, helping each other out on everything from nails to skincare and waxing. And I kept getting questions, kept getting asked by people to give advice on men's waxing, body waxing and intimate waxing. And there a couple of other trainers as well, but there weren't many trainers around at the time offering classes in the men's waxing side of things. So I thought, ooh, I could do that. I could start doing that. And so that's how I got into it. That's how I got into the teaching side of things. I started running just body waxing classes initially, and then I started doing the men's intimate waxing classes. It was at that time that David Beckham had starred in that very famous Armani underwear advert where he was plastered across billboards up and down the country in his teeny little underpants, caused a few car accidents by all accounts. But he had suspiciously smooth thighs. I don't know if you remember this, guys. He had kind of these suspiciously smooth thighs. And, the Beckhams never came out and said whether it was just clever airbrushing that kept his legs looking so clean and neat, or whether Victoria had been at him with the Veet or a Bic razor at home. But the media kind of picked up on it and ran with this story that Beckham had had Brazilian waxing, you know, golden balls, had smooth balls and all that. So whether that was true or not, we never know. But it kind of sparked an interest, a massive interest in men's grooming, men's intimate waxing in particular. And I got loads of emails, loads of phone calls from people wanting training. So I started offering the classes. I worked with Habia to help develop the national occupational standards for intimate waxing, for male intimate waxing. And it sort of went from there, really. We branched out into female intimate waxing as well, because I had colleagues who specialise in the female side of things.
Yeah.
Do men's facial waxing classes. So in particular, that's very popular amongst barbers and hairdressers. As we know, you know, the waxing has kind of crossed over into those areas now. Guys in particular, they love the fact they can go to their barber. So many barbers, you know, you sit down and you have your hair cut, and then at the end they run the clippers across your brows and your ears, and you kind of... Well, it's great. It's a great service. But obviously, then you got that stubbly, prickly regrowth within a couple of days. Yeah. So
my son's a barber. And obviously, he works in a local barber's to us, which is so busy.
Yeah.
And I've just tried and tried to say to him, look, Corey, when you've got somebody in your chair, you know, to bob on an earwax mm-hmm. or a nostril wax, you know, we charge like £7 yep. for that.
Yep.
You've got them in your chair. That's an extra £7 yep. per client. And I mean, how many clients does he do a day, Shelby?
Oh, he does loads. It's so busy. So busy.
He must do...
He earns a fortune. Honestly.
He must do 20.
Yeah.
Easy. Exactly. Easy.
But he's like, oh, no. You know, oh, you know. And I said, Corey, honestly, he's so quick. I think it's because it's waxing and he thinks, oh, my goodness, it's so difficult. And I'm like, these are really easy add-ons mm-hmm. for you that the barbers don't offer.
Yep.
But I'm trying to talk him into coming and doing some training with you.
Oh, you talk him in. I'll be there in a flash.
if it's anything like what Mum did with me, she'll just tell Corey that's what he's doing
that's what
tomorrow.
You're doing. It's booked.
Because that's how it went with us. Mum said, I said to Mum, I don't want to do intimate waxing. And she was like, okay, okay. And then she came into my room one day and she went, do you want to know your surprise? I went, oh, yeah, what? She went, I've booked us on intimate waxing course.
And there you were thinking you were going on a lovely holiday somewhere.
Yeah. I said, you are kidding, aren't you? She went, no, no, we're doing it. I've booked it. I've paid for it. It's coming up on this date. I said, brilliant. I mean, we did the course and Mum does not do any waxing. I do
it's
it all.
It's all down to you.
I said, I don't know how that worked out.
That's called a clever mum, Shelby.
Yeah.
But it's so true. I mean, with the barbers in particular, it's something that is so quick and easy to add to the end of a treatment, whether it's a haircut, whether it's a wet shave, and not just yeah. for barbers as well, but you know, with your nail tech, a lash and brow tech, these are all things that can be done in chair. And the huge benefit of that is it means that you don't need a separate trip to the beauty room. For male clients in particular, you know, we trust our barbers. We have this relationship with our barbers. So if our barber says to us at the end of a haircut, do you want to have your ears done while you're here, nostril wax, it doesn't hurt, it's really quick and easy, it's not
and
even...
you need them doing
yeah that too. You can say that to a guy. It's really easy to say to a guy, do you want your nose and ears done while you're here? Whereas I have found, you know, if you start to say to female clients, do you want me to do your tash while you're here, it's fights sometimes. But but with the guys in particular, it's a huge potential market, and it's so quick and easy to add. Like you said, Amanda, it's extra money in the pocket for the stylist, for the barber. It's added value for customers and for waxers, for therapists, for like I said, lash technicians, nail technicians, anyone who's perhaps wanting to get into working with male clients but is a little bit nervous about it. It's such a quick and easy way of introducing male clients to the magic of your waxing spatula. And like I said, it doesn't need separate space. It's very safe, very affordable. I think it's a great way of getting people yeah. involved.
Yeah, I do. If people ever say to you, what do you do for a living, and you tell them, do they think you're crazy?
Oh, yeah, all the time. You know, the funny thing is my mum used to... This is a long time ago. When I first started doing the intimate waxing in particular, and people used to ask my mum, oh, what does your son do for a living? She'd say, he's in removals. A lie. Now she's very proud. You know, she'll hold up the magazine interviews and she'll show people the video. So now she's great. But it was back then when I first started. Bear in mind, this was nearly 20 years ago. So attitudes were perhaps a little bit more reserved back then. But it happens to me as well. You know, people will, at parties and things, people say, what do you do for a living? And I pull hair out of people. And they laugh at first, thinking that that surely can't be what you do 9 to 5. And, you know, a lot of the guys in particular, if you're at a pub or a party, they'll be like, oh, my God, how can you do that? How can you do it? And I'm like, because the money's great.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real sweetener. And then the funny thing is that it's usually the people who initially like, oh, no, how can you do that? They're the ones who, after a couple of pints, sidle up to you when you're on your own at a party or in the pub, and they go, so, this back sack and crack then, how much yeah. does it hurt?
Yeah, and can you book me in?
Exactly. Next Tuesday, I'm there.
It's still a bit of, I even find now, like talking to females in the salon, it's still a little bit of a taboo subject, and I don't know why. It's like people don't want to talk about having a Brazilian or a Hollywood or...
Some clients are really open and they'll come and they'll sit and they'll go, Shelby, I need my waxing doing, book me in tomorrow lunchtime. But then other ones, if you even mention if it comes up in conversation about, oh yeah, and they'll go, I need a bikini wax. Yeah. And like, me and Mum are going, why are you whispering?
Or they'll mail it, won't they, over the reception desk. Or you could have got my for my hat in the hand, please.
Yeah. And me and Mum are like, we just don't get it. But I think even now, some people still feel a little bit embarrassed to say that they go for waxing, especially intimate waxing.
No, you're absolutely right. I think that once people try it and they realise how great it is and how good the results are, they get hooked. But sometimes it's getting people through the front door in the first place. And I think that part of this touches on that whole Sex in the City myth, you know, where we have that stereotype, don't we, the girls sitting around having breakfast mimosas and talking about their latest conquest and how the fact they went for an all-off Hollywood wax. And in reality, that doesn't really happen. It is still something that people perhaps don't want the world and their sisters to know about. And I think for guys in particular, it's even more so. You know, as chaps, we don't tend to sit around pint and a packet of port scratchings talking about, you know what, Rupert had the most marvellous scrotum wax last week. It doesn't happen. But we have this thing with chaps, I call it the locker room culture, where, you know, you have guys who perhaps share a sporting interest or a hobby, and that's where they will talk and they'll share those sorts of things, usually from behind a keyboard, if you know, online, the forums, the health forums, you know, you go on the cycle forums, the bodybuilding forums in particular, all the guys are on there asking for recommendations of where to get the best tan products from, nutrition, they're talking about grooming, they're talking about hair removal, and that's because it's a safe environment. So you do get people talking about it, but it's in that environment where they feel safe and comfortable in sharing that kind of information. And that's the trick for waxers, for therapists, is to tap into those areas, especially if they want to start attracting male customers, tap into those areas where the guys are already going, and that's how they can get the customers learning about the services that they offer.
Yeah, that's brilliant advice. Andy, how did you actually get into the world of beauty therapy then?
Oh, the $64 million question. It was definitely more accident than design. I had no intention of going into beauty therapy, no interest in skincare whatsoever. My initial intention was to be an osteopath. I wanted to go into osteopathy. So I recently graduated from university. I was working in the probation service, so completely different to what I'm doing now. And obviously I didn't have the money to go back to college and study osteopathy. So I started training, studying and offering massage part-time in the evenings and working around my job in the probation service. And the idea was that I would raise a little bit of extra pocket money through the massage and start to learn more about anatomy and physiology so that I could eventually, in a few years' time, have enough money and background knowledge to then start my osteopathy training. And as I started doing the massage, I had more and more male clients, sports clients, asking if I knew anywhere that was doing hair removal for guys. Now, this was nearly 20 years ago. So bear in mind that back then it wasn't a big thing. It wasn't really talked about, as we mentioned earlier. And really outside of the big cities, there weren't many salons or therapists who were offering waxing, sugaring or any kind of hair removal. In London, and Manchester, you know, the big cities there were, but outside of that, certainly in rural Hampshire, you know, there wasn't really anywhere. So I kind of thought to myself, ooh, bit of a gap in the market there. I could earn myself a few extra quid by doing that. So I just took the bull by the horns. I went and did a one-day waxing course where I learned how to wax an underarm, a bikini line and half a leg. Which, you know, that was one of the reasons when we started writing our training courses, I thought, yeah, we're going to do more than that. But that got me started. And I had some very, very willing, I'll say volunteers, but perhaps victims might be a description, who were quite happy for me to practice on them. And again, back then, there was nowhere that was, absolutely nowhere, that was offering training in the male intimate waxing. So when I had my male clients saying, you know, I want to remove hair from the groin and from the bum, it was literally a case of the two of us, myself and my client, experimenting with stretches, different waxes. I still have awful memories of the horrible old hot waxes that we used to use that were really hot and brittle and horrible. Using those, trying to kind of get the best possible result. But it was very, very much a case of, right, you hold this, I'll hold that. How's that? Is that hurt? Is this better? And working it out ourselves. Then, of course, the new waxes came about. I remember on some American online forums, this was sort of the early noughties by this point, I stumbled across a lady called Laurie Nestori, who lots of people will know. She's the American wax queen. She runs Eva's Aesthetics over in America. And I started reading her forums, and she was kind of giving advice on doing waxing. And she was talking about this product called Cirapil, or Perumrego Cirapil waxes. And I remember hunting this wax out at the time because she was raving about it and saying that it was completely different to any other hot wax that people had ever tried before. It was flexible, it was low temperature, it didn't go brittle on the skin. And I thought, this sounds fantastic. So it was a French brand. Obviously, with a name like Perumrego, you know, it's a wonderful French brand. And I couldn't get it. France wouldn't ship it to me in the UK. So I've since found out there was actually a small distributor in the UK, but I didn't know about them at the time. So back in the early noughties, I was getting it sent over from America. From France to America, back to me in the UK. And I started using this wax.
I thought then, Andy, you were going to say you went to France to go get it.
I loaded up a truck, got over there, went across the channel. No, so it was, I mean, it was doing its miles, its air miles. You know, if I had air miles for every bag of wax that I got sent to me, I'd be flying first class now. But it was...
Did you find once you got hold of that wax that totally changed your treatment?
Totally changed. It totally changed the way that I worked. I was able to use bigger strips, apply longer sections of wax. I could leave it on the skin for longer. It made my job easier because it wasn't becoming brittle, and it wasn't difficult to use, and it was much more comfortable for the clients. You know, it was lower temperature. I didn't need to keep going over the same area of skin multiple times. So it completely transformed the way that I waxed. And fast forward a few years, and Talgo in the UK, Talgo was an international company, bought out Perumrego and took over the distribution of it. And they started distributing it in the UK. And I remember hearing about this. I read about it in one of the trade magazines. And I remember running up to the Talgo stand at Professional Beauty. I think it was either 2006, 2007. I can't remember exactly when it was. But I ran up to Marion, who's the CEO of Talgo, like an excited puppy. And I went, "I love your wax. Can I use it in my salon, in my training courses, please?" And aside from kind of, at first I think she thought, "Who is this?" But I mean, Marion's absolutely fantastic. She was very, very open to me using the product in my training, and she actually said to me, "Would you mind coming and running some training for our skincare team?" Because they'd just taken over distribution of the product, and I mean, the Talgo sales team are absolutely amazing. They know their products inside out, but waxing was something new for them. You know, traditionally they've been skincare orientated, so these new waxes, they were unlike anything that was available in the UK at that time. So I started working with Perumrego, running workshops. Not only for their sales team, but also for customers. We ran these discovery workshops. We used to call them geeky waxing workshops initially, because I started running them for the members of Salon Geek initially. Then we started, you know, running them for customers. And really, I mean, I owe an awful lot to Marion and Perumrego in particular, because they kind of supported me and really kickstarted my work with different brands here in the UK. And obviously, Laurie out in America, I would, without knowing her and without her inspiration and reading all of her advice online and getting advice from her in person, again, I wouldn't be where I am today. So really, those two people and companies are where it all started.
Fantastic. I remember, like, when I was at college, when we learned intimate waxing, it was like an add-on to the course, and it was like, right at the end, you know, we're going to do this little bit of intimate waxing, and go get your wax pot. And I mean, the wax pot came out and it was like chewing gum in a mm-hmm. pot. It was horrible. And this one, even really that long ago, this must have been about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the newer style of wax will have been around then. I just don't think they used it. And my first experience doing intimate waxing was horrendous. I was sweating. I just could not wait for it to be over. I felt so sorry for the client.
And that wasn't even you having the treatment done.
No, that wasn't me doing it. I just remember coming home and thinking, no way on this earth am I doing intimate waxing again. That was so stressful, and I just felt insanely sorry for the client. And it was only when we then did...
Insanely sorry.
Yeah. It was only then when we did the waxing with Axiom, the training, that I was like, oh my God, this is completely different. Yeah. This is a completely different experience to what I've had before.
I hear it so often with people that they have a bad experience on their initial training. And it's not just beauty, it's with anything. You know, if you have a bad experience, that can colour your impression about a particular service, whether it's waxing or nails or massage or whatever it is, when you then start out in the real world. And it's unfortunate. I mean, colleges do a fantastic job with the resources they've got, the time that they've got, and the syllabus that they've got. What we have to remember is that we're very lucky in the industry, especially with private training providers like myself, lots of other training providers, is that we have the freedom and the budgets to work with the products that we want. I can take smaller classes as well. So I've always prided myself that at Axiom, we have very, very small classes. I mean, as you guys know, the two of you on the class, basically. So you get our undivided attention. And unfortunately, a lot of bigger colleges, they don't have that luxury. So it's understandable that sometimes people are, they'll be equipped with the basics, but perhaps they might have an experience that is uncomfortable, for example. I mean, I remember... I was very lucky after I did my initial training, my 1 day training course. I went and then trained with Helen McGuinness down in Eastleigh near Southampton. And she was absolutely amazing. I mean, this was again way before male grooming was a part of the syllabus. And she tailored every single aspect of the level two so that I could get experience of how I would then be delivering those services to my male clients. I even remember there's a photo floating around the internet somewhere of me in full special occasion makeup, because she was like, if you're going to do this, you are going to have the services performed on you as well. I was like, yeah, fair play, I'm up for that. But she was absolutely brilliant, and she tailored all of this so that I was able to have that experience of working with male customers. But even then, you know, it only takes somebody to not stretch the skin quite right, or the wax to be a little bit hot, and you think, oh my Lord, you know, you're walking around with your underarm, your arms out kind of for the rest of the day. Your underarms feel like they're on fire. Yeah, you feel like they're on fire. So we're very lucky, and I feel very privileged at the academy that I'm able to give that time and use the products that I want to use with the students. Because I do think that waxing in particular, it's a very aggressive service. When you think about what we're doing, you know, we're putting hot wax onto delicate skin. We're then pulling that off with quite some force, pulling the hair out at the root, you know, leaving the follicles open, and then we're slathering it with soothing cream again. If you break it down, I mean, that sounds like a horror story. You know, when you break it down into its basics, it is.
Why do we do this?
I know. You know, we kind of think it potentially it is quite an aggressive service. Now obviously the way that we carry out our services, the way we prep the skin, we protect the skin with a barrier, whether that's oil or powder, the temperature of the waxes we use, the supporting, all of that goes towards making it a comfortable service, or as comfortable as it can be. But you can kind of see when you break it down like that, it's very easy for something to go not quite right. And that not just at college, you know, it could be years down the line, and I mean, we've all had it happen, haven't we? We've bruised a client, we've taken too much of an eyebrow off, perhaps we've dripped wax somewhere we shouldn't have. It's the nature of what we do.
I once took a bit of my own eyebrow off.
At least it was your own.
I'll be honest. Yeah. Mum went on holiday and I was going on a night out, and I was like, oh my God, I need my eyebrows doing. So I thought, I'll just wax them before I leave work. But I accidentally picked up like an old wax strip, so the one I'd just put down, so the wax on the strip stuck to part of my eyebrow that I didn't want it to stick to, and it just took off the middle of it.
Whoops.
I must have spent about 2 hours that night drawing it back in for my night out.
Thank goodness for eyebrow pencils.
I know, it's a good job they were around by then.
I know. I think everybody who's trained in waxing or who offers the service will have a bit of a story to tell. You know, we've all been in that situation where you've done a leg wax and then the wax is stuck and you think, oh my God, get it off, and you can't get it off.
Yeah. Usually on the knees or the ankles.
Yeah, but the more you do it, you know the little tricks and
absolutely.
How to avoid that. And
absolutely. And it's one of those things that I always say to people, own the mistake. If something goes wrong, and it will do, you know, you can't be a waxer. You can't do full-time waxing and expect for nothing to ever go wrong. I wish that were the case. I wish we were living in a perfect world where the wax went on beautifully, it came off first time, the hair slipped out like, you know, warm butter off a knife, and you know, customers tipped us 20% of every service and they rebooked every, they looked after their skin. I wish it were like that, but we're living in an imperfect world, and sometimes things don't go quite according to plan. But I think the important thing is, if something does happen, if you bruise a client, if you graze a client, you learn from that mistake, but you own it as well.
Yeah.
So I always say to people, you need to tell your clients. Yeah, take a deep breath. Don't panic. Remember, you're not
the
first. Don't cry. Yeah. Remember, you're not the first person this has happened to. You know, welcome to the club type thing. But it's really important you tell the client, because if you don't, if you pretend it's not happened and just sort of, you know, hope that they won't notice, I can guarantee your customer will get home. They will peel their clothes off and they'll go, "What is that? Is that a bruise? Yeah. Is that a burn?" And they'll then blame us. They'll think we've done a terrible service. Whereas if you just very calmly, you know, I always say to people, don't panic. Don't kind of turn around and go, "Oh my God, I've taken a chunk out of your bikini line. I'm sure it'll be fine. But right now it looks like a fox has been at it." You know, don't panic. Don't panic the client. Very, very calmly, just sort of, you know, take a deep breath, have a little internal sweary moment. And then when you're doing all your tidy up, just point it out to the client. You just say, "Okay, Shelby, just to let you know, where the skin was a little bit dry, the wax has got stuck here, and you've got a tiny little patch of pink skin there. It's nothing to worry about. It's going to stay pink for a day or two. It'll dry peel a bit like sunburn over the next couple of days, but keep putting some antiseptic cream on it and that'll look after it. But give me a call if you've got any questions." And if you put it like that, 9 out of 10 clients, probably more than that actually, will turn and go, "Okay, yeah, no problem." And then you follow it up in a day or two with a phone call, with an email, and say, "Hi Shelby, it's Andy from Axiom. How are we doing? Did anything come with that little pink patch of skin?" And again, most clients, oh no, absolutely no, it's absolutely fine now. But the important thing is to own it, own up to it, explain what the client can expect to see over the next few days so they don't panic. And more importantly, you follow it up. You know, you're investing in that client care, you're letting them know that you care about them, you care about their welfare, and they're important as a customer. And that's honestly, that's the best way of dealing with it.
Yeah, and people, and put it on your record card.
Yeah.
Mental note, don't do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but clients do like that as well, because they like to feel that they're important, which they are.
Of course they are. Yeah.
I mean, if anything does go wrong, which I have to say hasn't, really, we've not really had anything like that, really.
Fabulous. That's what we like to hear.
If it did, I mean, we'd be mortified anyway, but it'd be like, you'd want to make sure that they're okay. And I know our clients would be very understanding and they'd appreciate us.
We've got a good relationship with our clients. And I find, especially with intimate waxing clients, you do create a really good relationship with intimate waxing clients, because they become so loyal. I find it's not a treatment that people jump from salon to salon, therapist to therapist for.
Yeah.
Once they find somebody they like, I find they tend to stick.
Absolutely. Especially for intimate waxing. Like you said, it's one of those things, you gain that trust, you build that relationship with your therapist, and you don't want to spend, you know, another 5-10 minutes every time you get it done, getting used to the person that you're working with, or going to a completely different salon. I know sometimes people have to because they travel, but you know, most people like to stick with a therapist they know and trust.
And I find as well, when I start out, if I book a new client in, I tend to book around 45 minutes for a Hollywood or a Brazilian, just to make sure that I'm not sure what the hair's going to be like. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how bad the growth's going to be. I'm going to have to go through everything in detail in regards to getting ready for the wax. But when it's a regular client, they come in, they know exactly what they're doing. It can take 15-20 minutes sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's £30 that we charge in salon. So you can earn a lot of money through intimate waxing.
And waxing is very much, certainly when you compare it to a lot of other services, it's a relatively low cost, high profit treatment. And I don't mean to say that the products themselves are cheap. They're, you know, they're not, you know, using a good quality product, it's going to cost you some decent cash. But if you look at the time and the products that we use versus the treatment price, there's quite a lot of profit to be made there. You're absolutely right. And I think, coming back to the time issue as well, a lot of people become obsessed with this whole speed waxing thing. You know, they think they have to kind of be completing everything in 5 minutes flat. You know, if they're not doing it in under that, then they're not a good enough waxer. And there are treatments exactly like you said, Shelby. You know, with regular customers in particular, you can absolutely be faster because you know them, they know the treatment, you know their skin, you know how their skin and hair responds. So you can absolutely build up speed in that way and confidence as well. But I think too many people get obsessed with, I know, doing a full leg wax, for example, in 15 minutes. And I could never do it like that. I will never be the fastest waxer in town because I think there is always that fine line between being efficient and offering a really good service where your client isn't lying there gathering cobwebs, but also, you know, then perhaps being too fast and it's uncomfortable for the client, or they don't get the best results, or perhaps they feel like they're on a production line. So I think there is that fine balance, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with people being speedy, but there's also nothing wrong with people taking a little bit longer for their treatment, providing obviously they're giving really, really great results and they are charging a price that means they are still making money from that service. So my leg waxing price for it, I hate leg waxing. I'm just going to put it out there.
I'm so glad you
hate it. There are two of them for a start, so I get bored after the first one, if I'm honest. But I hate leg waxing. So I will never be the fastest leg waxer in town, but I charge a price that means I get a decent wage for the time that it takes me. And I think that's the important thing, is that don't compare yourself too harshly to other waxers who say they can do things in half the time that you are. Speed comes with confidence, but as long as you're making a wage that you want to make, and as long as your customers are happy, that's the important thing.
Yeah, we hate like a full leg wax, don't we, Shelby?
Don't mind a half, but if it's a full, that's enough to ruin my day, I'll be honest. But if you give me like back-to-back Hollywoods, that's like a really good day for
Happy
me.
Less Larry, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have any funny stories for us, or any, maybe not funny, but interesting stories that have happened in the world of waxing?
I have several. some of them perhaps not suitable for broadcast, but there's one that I always, and people will have heard this before many times, I'm sure, but a long, long time ago, I stuck myself to a client's bottom once. I was doing an intimate wax. And there are lots of different ways of waxing the bottom. The way that I do it for most clients, the way that I find quickest and easiest for me, is to have the client on their knees so that I can get down the middle of the bum nice and quickly, nice and easy. So there's an image for all your listeners. and the way that I used to do it, I used to kind of cover the entire area, you know, pull the strip off, and it was nice and quick. But this one chap that I did that for, I put the strip wax on the buttock, but I didn't tell him that I was going to pull the strip off. Now, I've learned from this, obviously, you know, the lesson from that is always let your customer know what you're doing at every time, especially when they can't see what you're doing. So I just kind of put the wax on, and then without any warning, which was a mistake, I pulled the first strip off, and this guy, he was so surprised because he wasn't expecting it. He kind of flung himself forward on my treatment table. So I had visions of him flying off the end of the table and basically banging his head on the wall, because the room I used to work in, it was right up against the wall. So I had visions of him kind of like braining himself, basically, and my, you know, being out of a job for it. So like any self-respecting therapist, I did the first thing that came into my mind, and I rugby tackled him around the back of the legs to stop him falling off. But of course, when you rugby tackle somebody like that, my cheek and his cheek, shall we say, became connected, and my face got stuck to the remaining strip wax that was on his bum cheek. And there was just a moment of absolute silence where I thought, he's either going to sue me or he's going to laugh. And luckily he laughed. And actually, he's still a customer to this day. But it was one of those moments where you kind of think, how did this happen?
I bet you still think now, don't you? Look back on it and think, oh my God.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's one of the, but again, like I said, the important thing with anything like that is to learn from it. And what I learned from that was, first of all, pull your table away from the wall so your client's not going to headbutt it. But secondly, you know, talk clients through it. Let them know. They're not mind readers. I think sometimes we forget as therapists, you know, we do this all day, every day. But a new client, especially new male clients who may not have any point of reference, they might have only perhaps seen things on YouTube or even worse, the 40-year-old virgin, you know, something like that. They might not know what to expect. So if you talk them through the process, explain what you're doing every step of the way. Okay, I'm putting the cleanser on now. This is going to feel cold. Putting oil on, this is to stop the wax from sticking. Okay, the wax is going on now. This is warm. I'm going to take the strip off. You know, all these things that we take for granted, but a lot of new customers won't know. So you talk them through it. It helps sort of dispel some of the mystery of manscaping, but it puts them at ease as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I once had a client, this was a few years back when I was mobile, and I'd gone to her house, and the way her house was laid out, she had some like conservatory doors at the front of the house, mm-hmm. and she just got this new puppy and the weather was nice, so she kept the door open slightly but closed the curtains over the doors.
Yeah.
And the postman decided to just pull the door open further and just whip back the curtain to drop the post in. Rather than even, he didn't even knock, he didn't even do like a little tap or hello, nothing. But at this point, my client, like you said, was on her knees with her bum facing the door.
I mean,
it were quick. The man literally whipped back the curtain.
Special delivery. And,
yeah. And ran off. But I said, I was mortified. And I said to my client, oh my God, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, we should have locked the door, blah, blah, blah. And she said, oh, don't worry, it's fine. But I don't think I'll be seeing that postman again.
It's a good job it didn't require a signature, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I said to her, and from now on, I'm quite adamant on, you know, even if the client, she insisted on keeping the door open that day because she had a new puppy and it might need it to toilet.
Yeah.
And from now on, I were like, no, you have to lock that door because this has happened to me before. So let's lock the door.
It's happened before, but she's like, yeah, we'll risk it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
But we've had loads of waxing incidents, not in relation to the waxing, mm-hmm. yeah. but things like that.
Funny stories.
Or dropping wax pots. We've done a few of them, haven't we? Yeah.
There's nothing quite like dropping a freshly melted tin of strip wax or a bag of wax beads if the bag is split and it just goes everywhere. And it's usually right before your next client arrives as well.
Wax beads isn't too bad because we'll just sweep up and throw in the bin, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But, we've once dropped, well, mum. Yeah. To be precise.
I love the way you're dropping your mum in this show.
No.
Yeah, it won me, I must admit. It just went everywhere, didn't it?
I walked into the treatment room, she was on her hands and knees trying to scoop it up, and I opened the door and said, I'll see you later.
See you, mum, you can deal with this.
God, it was awful. Absolutely awful to try and clean up.
But yeah, we won't be doing that again anytime
soon. It's funny how you learn from these things, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So if there's any listeners that are interested in getting into the world of waxing, whether it's from leg, underarm, female intimate, male intimate, and they want to come and learn with yourself, how do they do that?
So the easiest way would be to contact us via the website, which is learnmalewaxing.co.uk. So despite the name, even though it's Learn Male Waxing, we do also offer a female waxing classes as well, and we offer everything from our intensive beginners boot camp, which is suitable for people who have had no previous waxing experience whatsoever, and it'll take you right through from beginner through to pro. We also offer the top-up classes for general body waxing, whether that's for guys or girls. We offer, as I said, the men's facial waxing courses, and that also suitable for beginners, barbers, hairdressers or therapists who want to get into the world of men's facial waxing and perhaps not had any previous experience. And then we have our intimate waxing classes, again for male and female clients as well. They are intensive days, they are practical, so you get sent your theory in advance. I think that's one of the things that lockdown has made us all realize, is that there's loads of really creative ways that we can work that perhaps we hadn't taken advantage of in the past. So we're certainly going to be kind of embracing these things like the Zoom calls, doing theory classes online, that sort of thing. So your theory sent in advance, then you come along on the day. We provide all of the models for the male waxing classes. We provide practice models for the female intimate, but you are expected to get waxed yourself as well. If you can't for whatever reason, that's not a problem. You know, we can supply extra models for a cost, or you can bring someone along if you want them to act as your model. But for the guide, we provide all of the male intimate waxing models. So it means you can just rock up with your favourite pair of tweezers, you know, a notepad and pen, and not have the stress or the worry of having to try and find a friend or a partner who's happy to come and have it done. We've got multiple models as well. So that's something we really pride ourselves on. You don't just work on one model. You will work on multiple models throughout the day. So you get lots of practice on different skin and hair types, because ultimately that's real life. That's what's going to happen when you're back in the salon, back in your treatment room. You're going to, no two clients are the same, as we know. So we think that's really important.
Also, Andy, if anybody's listening and they're a bit concerned, you know, like, oh, I don't want to be taught by Andy because he's male, you know, like, oh, I don't want to be waxed by a male.
Yep.
I'd just like to add that you have got female tutors as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. In fact, I don't actually run the female intimate waxing classes for precisely that reason. Because I run a men's waxing salon and I specialise in the men's waxing, I can wax ladies and I do have a couple of female customers from back in the day. But because it's not something I do all day, every day, and also because obviously I'm a male therapist, we felt very strongly right from the word go that those courses should be taught by people who actually specialise in the treatment that they're teaching in, but also it just makes students feel more comfortable if they have a female tutor rather than a guy watching over them, as it were. So yeah, absolutely.
Where are the courses held, Andy?
All over. So I run my classes down here in Basingstoke in Hampshire. We're 45 minutes from central London. I do run classes in London as well. I have trainers in Manchester. I have trainers in Nuneaton, Peterborough and Newark. We're able to come to you. So we're just about to take on a trainer in Scotland, and we have some trainers through Ashmira Botanica as well who are going to be running our courses. We can come to you as well. So whether you're a salon or working from home, or if you're a barber shop and working in a gym, wherever you're working, we can come to you as well. So the option is there, either to come to one of our pre-arranged classes, or we can sort something where we actually come to your place of work as well.
Yeah, that's what we did, didn't we? We arranged and you came to us.
And sometimes that's quite nice, isn't it? Because it means you don't have the stress and the hassle of a long journey, you know, you're going to be there on time, all of those sorts. There's pros and cons to both, but it's nice that we're able to offer the convenience of both options, I think.
Yeah. So anybody anywhere in the UK can basically train
and
with you guys.
And further afield, we get people coming from all over. Just before lockdown, we had students due to come in from Spain and Switzerland to train with us. We've had people from Korea. We've had students from Japan, Australia. So we've had people travel from literally all over to take our classes, which, I mean, that's fantastic. I feel very flattered and very honoured when people travel halfway across the world to come and train with us. But it's
amazing.
Well,
that speaks volumes for obviously your reputation.
Oh, thank you.
And obviously the treatment as well.
Yeah, absolutely,
Shelby, will you be offering male intimate waxing?
No. And my boyfriend once said to me, we'd not actually been together, I don't think, that long at this point, so it was a few years ago, and he said to me, do you think you could, you know, just like wax around the edges? So I said, well, yeah, I could if you want me to. Yeah, do it. So we got my waxing couch out. We put it in his mum's kitchen while she was out and literally took a strip from the top. Oh, my God, I've never seen someone cry so much in my life. He jumped out of his skin. I said, I ain't doing anymore. I said, I ain't doing this. Not a chance.
That isn't it. It's an experience that I hear from a lot of wives and girlfriends or husbands. I don't think it's guys, because I have to say, having worked with both male and female clients, the guys are usually quite good in a salon environment at just lying there and letting us get on with it. Whereas I have to say, in the past, especially with female intimate waxing, when I first started doing that years ago, there were a couple of occasions where I'd be like, okay, you really need to just not clamp your leg shut every time I'm trying to get this. But for the guy, I have to say, most guys will lie there and they're very, very good at taking instructions. Some of them are quite good at zoning out as well. Obviously, there are some areas which are more sensitive than others, like the chest, for example, the neck area. But I think it's partners rather than it being
men. Maybe.
I was going to say that maybe they feel comfortable to complain.
They,
whereas
they know
the males I wax in salon, they don't complain.
Yeah.
No.
Because my other half is exactly the same. Whenever I wax him, he's like, oh, you're burning me. That's really... seriously, I do this all day, every day, mate. You know, kind of shut your noise. I know what I'm doing. So I don't think it's guys. I think it's partners. Like you said, Shelby's, because they know us. They feel comfortable and able to kind of have a bit of a whinge. So I always tell students when they come on the classes, if you do have your first ever practice wax as your husband, your boyfriend, your partner, whatever, don't be put off by the fact that they're going to make a lot of noise, because it's not you. It's just the fact that you're their other half. And they feel they can get away with it.
Either that or gag them.
Yeah.
Give them a spatula to bite on. That works.
So, Andy, we follow you on social media, obviously, and we follow your work quite closely. And we've seen that you've worked with quite a number of different brands. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm very fortunate, really. I've had the opportunity to work with lots of fantastic brands over the years. As I said, first of all, with Pearl McGo, then I went on and worked with Outback Organics. And most recently, I've had the opportunity to help develop the Ashmira Botanica line, which is an absolutely fantastic line of waxes, pre and post products, retail product. We created the products so that therapists would be able to offer almost like a skincare service, you know, a really great skincare service, and support that with retail that they could sell to their clients to help look after the skin and get best results between appointments. So whether that's, you know, soothing lotions, ingrown hair serums, we've got a spray that helps prevent the pimples for guys after waxing. We've got a face cream that's got SPF in it as well, so clients can look after their skin after they've had a wax, protect it from the sun's rays. Absolutely everything. And that's doing really, really well. We've got some new vegan waxes that launched. In fact, they were due to launch just before lockdown, but then of course that happened, so that was all put on hold. And I've also had the opportunity to work with Salon System, which is again another fantastic brand. So I was asked to help create the Just Wax Expert line. So that's very much it's a capsule collection of a strip wax, a hot wax, and then a multitasking pre and post wax product. So it's a cleansing serum that can be used before and after waxing, and a soothing lotion that can be used obviously after waxing to help protect and calm the skin, but can also be used a little bit before waxing, just a tiny little amount to act in place of oil as a barrier as well. So I'm really, really lucky that I've had the opportunity to work with those companies. And it's exciting as well. I get to put my white coat on when I go to the labs, and I get to pretend I'm a scientist for the day, and I get a clipboard and a hairnet, and it's great. I love it.
Yeah. We actually use Ashmira Botanica in our salon, and we have done for a lot of years now, haven't we?
Yeah, I think probably since it, I don't know when it launched, but possibly since it launched,
at least. How long ago, Dan? It's at least 3 years.
It's 3 years, so it's still really relatively new to the industry. And we get asked a lot as well, because at the moment, up until this new launch, there was only one strip wax, one peelable wax, and then a roller wax. Now we've released a new strip and peelable that have a vegan formulation. So there's no beeswax, there's no honey, there's no lanolin in the products, because that's what people were asking for. It's, you know, big area of beauty at the moment. And people always used to ask, well, why have you only got, you know, two waxes in the range? Why have you only got a strip wax and a hot wax? And it's very much the case of, well, we wanted a fantastic strip wax and a fantastic hot wax that was suitable for every skin type, every hair type, and got brilliant results regardless of who was up on your treatment table. So it often, people look at us and go, oh, well, why don't you have multiple smelling waxes or waxes of many colors? But that's why, ultimately, because we wanted something that did a fantastic job for everyone.
Yeah. Is there a difference between the vegan wax and an ordinary wax?
Yes.
As in how it looks, how it performs?
Not necessarily in terms of how, I mean, every wax will be different in terms of how it performs, but the main thing, the main difference with a vegan wax, particularly a vegan hot wax versus a non-vegan one, is that you won't have beeswax or lanolin or honey in them. So those are common ingredients that up until quite recently used to be used as texturizing ingredients, for example, and form ingredients in waxes. So you'd find them in a lot of hot waxes. Lanolin in particular was used to kind of give like a sort of creamy consistency to a hot wax. And beeswax obviously used to kind of give it texture as well. So we're, as an industry, we're moving away from those natural ingredients to either plant-based ingredients or synthetic ingredients, which work brilliantly, work just as well, but they're not derived from animals. So, which is always a fabulous thing. I think everybody...
Yeah, it's good to have a choice.
Exactly. If they had the choice, they'd want something that wasn't animal derived. You know, I think most people, yeah, whether they're vegan or not, would appreciate that.
Yeah, I think as long as nothing's being compromised in regards to its performance, mm-hmm, then there'd be no reason why you wouldn't be willing to use the vegan version.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the same with synthetic resin waxes. I mean, a while ago, there used to be a trade-off between the performance and the efficacy, if you like, of a synthetic resin versus a natural resin. So it used to be that you wouldn't necessarily get the same pull or the same strength in stick from a synthetic resin versus a natural resin. We're talking a few years ago, so this was a while back, so it took a while for us to kind of catch up with that, and now we have amazing synthetic resins that you would never know in a million years that were any different to the fantastic strong natural resins that are out there. But again, people are moving more towards these synthetic resins because some people might have an intolerance to natural resins. Some people like the fact that synthetic resins in particular allow you to put pretty much any colour or any fragrance in a wax because they're pretty much odourless and colourless once they've been refined. So there are loads of advantages to both. Natural resins are very strong. They do a great job. So there's pros and cons to both natural and synthetic. But it is interesting to see how the industry has changed and moved forward, and we're seeing advances in ingredients and formulations that let us do things now that we weren't able to do, you know, 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, definitely. It's the entire industry's changed,
yeah,
and evolving so quickly.
Definitely.
Like we do a lot of nail treatments, and that, you know, in the past 10 years has just changed so much and is constantly changing. So it's across every treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
The entire industry. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Andy, to sit down and chat. It's been great chatting to you.
It's been lovely catching up with you both as well.
Oh, it's been a good way to spend bank holiday.
Definitely.
With a waxing daddy.
Yeah.
Where did that name come from quickly?
It was very much a joke. It was intended to be tongue-in-cheek. I was given the nickname by a journalist who felt that because, I mean, lots of people in the industry have nicknames, whether it's you know, wax queen or waxing diva, it's kind of like a nice little quirk, isn't it? And this journalist said, well, what's your nickname? And I was like, oh, I don't really have one. And just as part of the conversation, we were talking about where I worked and my clients and all this. And I used to work in the basement in an old brick cellar of a barbershop, and it was exposed brickwork and kind of exposed piping, very industrial, basically. And the journalist turned around, oh, she's right, oh, yes, like a wax daddy. And I was like, oh, I like that. And it just made me laugh so loudly that originally it was meant as a joke, but it just kind of stuck. So it's very much tongue-in-cheek. I don't take it seriously. It's very much intended as a bit of a giggle.
Yeah, it's definitely stuck, and it is what people refer to you as, isn't it? You know, the waxing daddy.
Everybody's got a daddy.
Well, thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a review and subscribe.
We would love to connect with you on social media. You can follow us on Instagram at The Beauty Edit Podcast or join our Facebook group, The Beauty Edit Podcast Society.
Thank you so much again, and please do look out for another episode of The Beauty Edit Podcast.